in the house, yeah. She's actually a woman, yeah. She's a woman. Jimmy didn't know. Now he knows. Look at my flow. Yeah, yeah. Guys.
And women.
And ladies. Oops. And women.
Guys and gals.
Welcome to Gilmore Guys. Hosted by
Demi.
And Kevin.
Hey.
Hi.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Oh, man. That just flowed really well.
It really did.
We should quit this podcast because nothing will ever flow that well again.
I don't know. Last episode was pretty well flowing.
Guys, if you listened to the last episode, number one, you're welcome.
Yeah.
But number two, sorry.
Both of those.
At the same time.
I loved it. I had a lot of fun. I hope you guys had fun listening to it
as we did. A lot of fun was had. Hopefully it's not one of those things where it's like you have to be there. And I feel like I have this sensation sometimes when listening to podcasts where I'm like, man, they're really laughing a lot and I'm not laughing with them.
Right, yeah.
That can be very alienating. I was listening to one today that was like that. Won't name it because might want to have them on the show one day. It's Gilmore Guys, and we're going to try something a little bit different this week.
Yep.
Just kind of looking at our schedule, we're committed to you guys through and through. Like, don't doubt our commitment or our devotion to you.
Because we love you.
Because we love you so much. It's all about the fans. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you. I'm pointing to every listener that I see who follows us on Twitter.
Did you feel it? Did you feel us pointing at you?
Right. So that's what we want to talk about today is our release schedule. We're trying to put out two a week. I think we've settled on Mondays and Wednesdays for the most part. It feels good to us. A lot of people don't do two a week podcasts, and we're starting to understand why.
Yeah,
that is the way it is. But there's 153 episodes of Gilmore Girls total. If you count the seventh season, we still don't know if we're going to. Probably not. So Gilmore Girls seasons 1 through 6 plus Bunheads, it's still around 150, 148 episodes of TV if we end up doing Bunheads. So I think what we're going to try to do in this episode, to success or failure, is we're going to combine our discussion of episode 110 and 111 into one episode and see how that works. That way, we're still delivering two a week, but you're actually further along in watching it because most people are binging it.
Yeah, and I have friends that are already on the third season.
Yeah.
So
it's not – we're going to try to catch up. But then also just for our lives, if we did one episode a week every week, it would take – over 3 years.
Yeah.
Easy. If we did two a week, it would still take over a year. So we're going to try to do it either under or around 1 year of our lives will be devoted to this beautiful, wonderful podcast we call Gilmore Guys. But to do that, we're going to have to combine them. So we'll see how that goes. How do you feel about it, Demi?
I'm excited about it. I hope this turns out well. I hope it's not a train wreck. And I hope that it's also enjoyable for people to listen in this fashion. Because I'm worried that I don't know if it's going to be the kind of thing where we talk about both separately, or it's just going to be the kind of thing where we'll talk about both and then we'll just kind of talk about the two of them together. But I'm always excited to try a new thing.
So aren't we all?
Let's see how this goes.
Let's see how it goes, guys. Okay, so to kick off the episode discussion of 110, which is entitled
Forgiveness
and stuff.
And some stuff.
And a little bit of stuff. Instead of doing pop
the culture.
I screwed that up. Sorry, Dims. Instead of doing that, I actually wanted to turn our eye to our mailbag.
Ooh, we have a mailbag.
We got a mailbag, guys. Spelled M-A-I-L, not M-A-L-E. Come on now.
Could have been both, because this is Gilmore Guys.
Yeah, my mailbag's itching a little bit right now. But you can always write us in at the email address is GilmoreGuysShow@gmail.com. Super simple.
Right.
Super easy. A dumb idiot could email us in.
And you're stupid. Fucking dummy.
Any dumb mofo could be like, I like the show. You know?
It's me typing.
Yeah. So write us in because we love you. So I want to read the very first piece of fan mail we ever got.
All right.
And this is going to transition. Well, not this one, but about two from now, it's going to transition to 110. Our first piece of fan mail ever. This is actually October 2nd that this person wrote in one day after we premiered. His name is Ryan, and he says, great ep. The Squarespace bit killed. Can't wait to see if it's possible for an independent podcast to get canceled. I know I'll be tuning in to find out. So there's a little bit of like...
A threat in there.
A little bit of threat.
I hope you can.
Yeah. So another guy named Nicholas writes in, says, I'm a 17-year-old from Columbia. Love the show, both Gilmore Girls and Guys. I only listened to the first ep so far, but I think it was really funny. And I would love if it, I would love it if you incorporated the soundboard in future episodes.
You got it.
So that's kind of your territory, Demi.
Yeah.
What do you say? What do you say to Nicholas, Demi? What do you got to say to him?
Nicholas, I got to tell you.
Here we go.
Nicholas, there's one thing I got to say to
you. Yeah.
If there's one thing I got to say to Nicholas, it's that you should
try a plum. They're better than sex.
Yeah.
Try a plum. They're better than sex.
You should.
Rory!
Rory! Oh my
Rory.
God. I wish that was my tap. If I did ringtones, I don't, but I think I would like, make that my text.
I would love
ringtone.
For you to be in a quiet place somewhere and then just have go, Rory! Go off.
That's amazing. Okay, and this next piece of fan mail. By the way, is that presumptuous to say fan mail? I should just call it the mailbag because maybe they're not a fan.
Yeah, I would love. I honestly would like people to email us if they're like, you guys kind of suck.
And here's why. And here's how to get better.
Yeah.
Don't just stop it. You suck.
Nah, you can stop it. You suck. You can email me and tell me I suck.
He's, what are you?
My email is
ChunkyLover17.
Yeah.
@gmail.com.
I actually couldn't get 17. I'm 18.
Oh.
ChunkyLover18.
Okay. Well, that's better. Legal in more states. The next email is from Marlies. I want to say Marlies. I don't know if I'm pronouncing her name correct. I'm assuming it's a girl. If you're not, sorry, bro. But it's Marlies. I'm really enjoying the podcast. It's getting better with each new episode. First one sucked, apparently. No, it's a learning curve. In a couple of episodes now, it's been mentioned that Gilmore Girls has no Christmas episodes, which isn't entirely true. Episode 110, Forgiveness and Stuff, involves Emily and Richard's Christmas party, to which Lorelai has been uninvited. And episode 711 is about the family celebrating Christmas late due to Rory's absence. I don't count that. I haven't seen it. So sorry, Marlies. I know what you're saying. I guess I was just speaking to canon Gilmore Girls, which to me is just one.
It's not
six.
A traditional Christmas episode. There's no, why don't you celebrate Christmas?
There's no Christmas tree. Sorry to tear you apart, Marlies. We're not. I mean, I would just say it's probably, I wouldn't say it's a, if there's no tree and there's no gifts and Merry Christmas to you too.
It's like, definitely seasonal.
Well, wait, there is a gift at the end. I mean,
oh,
more like
true.
It's on to Luke.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like
right.
one, does it? Anyway, she closes both. Just thought I'd point this out. Keep up the great work. So she loves us. She's super into us. She just wanted to give us a note.
Right.
Which is amazing because Brittany writes into us, Gilmore Girls is my favorite show. I never get tired of hearing others' perspectives on it. Blah, blah, blah. She says a bunch of other stuff she loves about it. I don't know if someone has told you this by the time you get this email, but Gilmore Girls does actually have a Christmas episode, and I think they have two, but one of them is during the lost years, i.e. season six
yeah.
and seven. One worth mentioning is coming up for you guys, Forgiveness and Stuff. Maybe you forgot because it's a lot less cheesy and schmaltzy than the usual Christmas episodes.
Very true.
Looking forward to special guest Alexis Bledel. Brittany.
Should we talk about that very quickly? Because I texted her this morning,
yeah.
and I said, you coming on the show, you coming on the show. And, you know, she has read receipts on, so I get a little thing going like a
bloop. You know.
I know she saw it.
Yeah.
And she texts me today at about 1 p.m. like, hey, sorry, I just saw this, liar. And she said, can't make it tonight, so sorry, I'm pregnant. Now, here's the thing. If that's a scoop that she is pregnant, and I'm sorry to break that on the show, but you'll probably know by the time this comes out.
Yeah, TMZ will have picked it up.
If she's pregnant, then why did she almost immediately say, you going to the bar tonight? No, I'm not going to the bar with you.
To drink
you
pregnant with a pregnant woman? No.
No, I'm responsible.
No, thank you.
I'll see you at the maternity store.
I don't want to be seen in public with a pregnant woman.
No, I'm going to be wearing a shield.
Bow wow. Yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Where my dog's at? Bark with me now.
Bow wow wow. Yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Where my dog's at?
So anyway, thanks Brittany and Marlies for pointing out our failures to communicate that, yes, there's kind of a Christmas episode.
There is, and we're talking about
it. I don't want to sound like a jerk, but it's yes and no, there is and there isn't.
It's not a traditional Christmas episode, but it is set around the
Christmas time. But I would say seasons 2 through 6, there's no Christmas. But let's start our discussion of 110 the way we start every discussion of 110 and every other episode. With a little segment we call Pop
Goes the Culture. We're getting better at that.
The faster you are, the better it is. It's just like sex. So let's play.
Try a plum. They're better than sex.
Better than sex. Pop Goes the Culture for episode 110.
The fact that I will never be able to understand what Charo is saying, no matter how long she lives in this country.
Mrs. Gilmore, I'm not a Cosmo woman.
It's getting to look a lot like Christmas.
How about Jimmy Hoffa? That'd keep you busy.
Metamorphosis. It's Kafka.
Because I'm still a little hot for that crazy bomber guy who's been living in a cave for a year. Where's the scarecrow when you need him?
I don't remember the country club organizing a Tai Bo class.
Things are still very miracle worker at my house.
I got two things. Number one. The guy in the cave, the bomber guy, who's been living in a cave for a year.
Right.
Bin Laden?
No. I would say no, because this was before...
This is 2000, though.
Yeah. So
and Bin Laden existed in 2000.
Yeah, but he wasn't bomber guy in a cave. I don't think he was in... I think... Was it the Oklahoma bomber?
No, that was the 90s, I think. So anyway, if you guys know who this is, write in. GilmoreGuysShow@gmail.com. Help us out.
I don't know. I just assumed it was Timothy McVeigh or something.
Oh, but. Well, maybe. I don't know. I couldn't figure out definitively.
Yeah.
Number two, things are very miracle worker in my house because this takes place after 109, which we just did, where Lorelai, Emily blows up at Lorelai, Lorelai blows up at Rory for Rory staying out with Dean all night long. So that's to say things are tense. They're in a fight. They're in a tizzy. So they're not talking to each other, and that's why things are very miracle worker? Is that the idea?
I think so.
What did you take it to mean?
I mean, I didn't until now even think. I was just like, I guess that's a Helen Keller reference, but I guess I didn't think.
It's odd, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they're not, like, signing on each other's hands, and that's what it
is. Maybe there's more stuff that happens in the miracle worker that we just don't know, but it's like, yeah, there's a lot of arguing in the miracle worker. I don't know.
If you guys know, if Helen Keller's if Helen Keller's relatives and kin are listening to this right now, write into the show and please explain what's going on.
Explain things for us. We don't have Google.
Tell us all about it. Here's what we're going to start doing this episode too.
All right.
Given a Netflix synopsis.
Ooh.
Which we have not been doing. We've just kind of been getting into it. And if you're following this but not following the show, or you haven't just watched the episode, you might have forgotten. So let me give the synopsis, which is I've looked at a few of these Netflix synopses so far, and they seem to be weirdly not incomplete, but they just seem to like emphasize the wrong things.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's the synopsis for Forgiveness and Stuff 110. Richard collapse at the Gilmore's Christmas party. Dean assures Lorelai that nothing improper happened the night he and Rory fell asleep together. Which, that's one scene.
Yeah.
For like 2 minutes.
I don't know.
It just seems weird.
There were more important things happening. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
Do you have something to say?
I don't.
You're holding your phone in a way in which it looks like you might. Nah, Nicholas, that's for you.
It's for you, Nick.
He's the one that said soundboard, right?
That's correct.
Mmm.
This is gonna be the moment. Oh, Melissa, you love the elephant sound?
I love it.
Here's this for you, Melissa.
Yeah.
All right, we'll catch you later.
Bye.
One day she's got to come on the show.
Yeah, but I don't want to be anything other than what I've been trying to be lately.
Hey, all I have to do is think of me and I have peace of mind.
I'm really glad you said that because I thought that, and the fact that you know that makes me like trust that you're on the same page as me.
I'm tired of looking around rooms wondering what I got to do and who I'm supposed to be.
Mm.
But you know what? I don't want to be anything other than me.
Chad Michael Mudface, we love you.
Chad Michael.
We call him Chad Michael Mudface.
Chad Michael Mudface.
That's what he is forever. In this teaser, there's a lot of weird tableaus. They're getting ready for the Christmas pageant. So that's kind of Christmas episode.
Yeah.
And Brittany and Marley's defense, right?
And Kirk is playing Jesus.
Kirk is Jesus.
Which I love.
It's crazy.
We got the return of the conservative townie.
There's a lot of weird tableaus. Like the way they communicate that Lorelai and Rory are fighting they just kind of look at each other across the room and then they look away. I don't know if I liked the convention of the dog having the Jesus arm in his mouth.
I didn't either.
That seemed real sitcom-y, didn't it? Like, oh, the dog has it. I get the idea, but I just didn't think... That didn't seem very Paladino to me. That seemed like... hopefully, we'll get one of them on the show one day, or both.
Oh, my God.
Truly, that would be a dream, because they're geniuses. But it seemed like something that a writer outlined the story and then they kept it. I don't know. It just didn't seem quite right. Or maybe it was. Maybe it was their idea and I'm poo-pooing on it right now and I'm going to regret this when they go through and listen to this to see if this is a show they should come on.
You guys should listen to 109 for sure.
Oh my, yeah. 109 is our flagship episode, I think, from now on.
Oh, speaking of Christmassy things that happened in this episode.
Yeah.
Michelle should be fired. His only scene is him fucking with the guy trying to install the tree.
Yeah.
I thought it was so funny. But
oh, wait,
I was
there's
also
a Christmas tree in this episode. Guys, you know what? Brittany Marley.
This is the Christmas episode.
This is a Christmas episode. We're wrong. You're totally right.
Hey, you're wrong. I didn't know.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
We're
willful
wrong.
Ignorance.
I'm wrong. Demi didn't have enough knowledge to be wrong.
Nope. Anyway. The scene where there's basically a scene where Michelle is talking to a guy who is moving something around on the tree, and he goes, "I need you to move the fairy up higher." And the guy goes to grab an angel, and Michelle's just like, "That is not a fairy." And he's like, I don't suppose you're gonna help me in finding it? No. And so he just stands there for like 5 minutes going, "That's not it. That's not it. That's not it." Loved it. But again, terrible.
The worst, right? Oh, but so good.
I would not stay at the Independence Inn.
I would. Did you know that the guy who plays Michelle opened a spin studio wherever he lives?
Really?
Yeah, I need to look. I just said it like I just heard it from a friend of a friend, but it's true.
That's cool.
Yeah. Good for you, Yannick Truesdale.
Good for you, True.
Good for you, True. Act one. Rory forgot about Lane again, which I just think is hilarious. Like, we're supposed to meet at Luke's, and she's like, oh, sorry, I forgot. I'm sad. And Lane's like, all right.
It seemed like a very unnecessary scene. It was just kind of like putting more onto the Lane fire of her forgetting about her.
Yeah, which she's totally cool with, it seems like, in this app. She's like, all right,
yeah,
I'm good with it. Rory got Dean a book, Metamorphosis, Kafka, which we heard in Pop Goes the Culture. I like that she got a book. I think that's a sweet gift. I feel like when I was growing up, I got people books as gifts.
Right.
Usually I tried to make it a book I'd read before, because otherwise it just seems impersonal.
If there wasn't that moment before where they exchanged books, like when they were on the bench talking with Lane.
Talking about Hunter Thompson and
I think it wouldn't have worked as well. Mm-hmm. If it was like the first time, like, oh, I just got him a book, it'd be like, oh, that's kind of weird. But I mean, there was a precedence to it. I liked it.
It'd be like two people who are super into podcasts and they're like, oh, I got you Gilmore Guys for Christmas.
Yeah.
And the other one's like, oh, I got you... oh, no, I didn't get you anything because there's nothing as good as Gilmore Guys
as
a podcast.
It's like, I just got you this watch. It's like, okay, thanks, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth thousands of dollars, but that's nothing compared to the eternal worth of the Gilmore Guys podcast.
We're Kafka and that watch is a football.
Kafka-esque, bro. Emily uninvites Lorelai to the Christmas party after Lorelai uninvites her from her house in the last episode.
Oh, yeah.
Which is such a bummer. Rory's dressed, by the way, when she goes to the Christmas party, looks like a homeschooler. which we talked about a little in the last episode, but that was my note. She looks like a homeschooler.
Yeah, I wrote down that she, it's very Romeo and Juliet.
Totally.
Yeah.
So it looks like we got to open up the fashion report. Here we go. Fashion. So Rory's dress, homeschooler, Romeo and Juliet. Lorelai wears a silk paisley shirt in this episode, and it's a disaster. It is not good. She's wearing it at the end. I think it's pink. It's just silk and paisley. Ooh,
is this bad. After the hospital or?
This is before the hospital.
Oh, okay.
Emily's Christmas dress is just so. I don't like Christmas red in colors.
I don't either.
I didn't think it looked good. The collar was weird.
Richard's got that bow tie.
Richard was rocking it, bro. Yeah. I love what Richard was wearing.
I do too.
Yeah. But Emily's hair looked like a groomed dog. She looked like a poodle. I mean, that's maybe my perspective. I think Luke is wearing a wife beater in this episode under his flannel shirt.
Really?
Which I found interesting.
That's so gross.
Yeah. I mean, you can't really tell, but it looked like the texture of it. And so I have no proof. It wasn't like a white wife beater. Wait, are all wife beaters white?
I think so. Otherwise, it's like a tank top.
Okay. He was wearing a tank top. Ugh. No, not a wife beater.
Still weird. He was at his coffee shop. It's not like...
Which he lives at.
Oh, right.
He actually does live upstairs.
Oh, no way?
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to spoil it.
No, I mean...
But yeah,
is it like a big discovery that he lives upstairs?
No, but he has an apartment upstairs. Yeah, it's the season 2 finale. I live upstairs, then it just cuts to it. It's pretty engrossing, y'all.
At the very end, Lorelai has this puffy, big blue jacket, mm-hmm. and it looks like something out of like a Missy Elliott video. It was just so out of character for her to be
wearing
it.
Very 2000s.
Yeah.
A Missy Elliott video. I'd like to see a Gilmore Girls Missy Elliott collab.
Oh, I would love to just have a Missy Elliott video with the Gilmore Girls in it, or an episode of Gilmore Girls where Missy's in town and they all got to get tickets to the Missy concert.
Yeah, and finally a black person has a substantial speaking role.
Yeah, but it's
which
a cameo.
We got to get to actually in this episode. We'll get to that. Luke's vest that he wears over his flannel, which I think he might have worn in an episode before, but he does continue to wear them in the show. Do you like that? Like, it's kind of a Marty McFly, but like subdued thing.
I think it's very Luke. It feels Canadian to me, but that's mm-hmm. what the entire town feels like around Christmas time. It works for Luke. If anyone else in the show were wearing it, I'd be like, that's so weird. But Luke is this weird
if
hippie.
Emily was wearing it.
If Emily would never be caught dead going near a store that sells that. Mm-hmm. But no, it works for Luke. Luke has a very... His style is very much lumberjack or someone who lives in the woods.
But I find what's interesting about his style is that out of all the characters, I think it has aged the least.
Really? He's still wearing the same stuff?
No, I'm just saying, like, when you watch it now in 2014, a show that took place in 2000,
right.
when you look at Rory and Lorelai and Emily's stuff, Luke doesn't look like, oh, that's weird. You know,
yeah.
It still looks pretty classic, timeless, what have you, in my opinion.
Right.
Maybe that's me. But for me, he looks great. One thing that did drive me nuts, though, is that his bottom two buttons of his shirt were buttoned and nothing else above
Wait,
it.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
I can't believe I didn't notice that. That's
in the
weird.
Hospital. It's super weird. And that's been the fashion report. Fashion.
Fashion.
I had to do that by myself.
I was coming
was
in at
very
the end.
Lonely.
Did you feel so alone in that moment? I'm sorry.
So yeah.
Do you want to do it again?
No. Yes.
Fashion.
That felt a lot better. Yeah. Thank you. Oh man. So Mr. Lippman from Seinfeld is in this episode. Did you catch that?
I didn't.
He was not Mr. Pitt or Jay Peterman.
Was he the doctor in the hospital?
No, he was one of the Richard's business associates.
Oh, okay.
They was talking to.
By the way, Richard's getting sassy in this episode at the...
Right?
Yeah, he had some words to say about his boss.
Yeah, he was... Which, I guess, caused the angina?
Yeah.
Is that what happens?
Yeah.
I love when it cuts to Lorelai at home getting a freaking pizza. Where she starts eating salad, but she does it
in
like an
bag.
Alien.
Yeah.
She does it like an alien would eat a salad. Like she had never
weird.
Heard of a salad before. Dean comes over and knocks in the most creeptacular way possible, obviously. Yeah,
through the window.
Through the wall. That we don't need to go any further than that.
Through and, the sweat? No.
Mm-mm.
Continue.
Actually, you know, I like this scene between him and Lore. Because he cares. He cares about Lorelai's respect. Unlike some people, but we'll get to that in future episodes. He cares about Lorelai's respect, and he wants it and desires it. And they, I think, what I do like is how their reconciliation was over different decapitation methods.
Yeah, yeah.
I would cut your head off. Mm. That actually feels true to life. It was almost Punch Drunk Lovey, where, like, you know that scene where they're cuddling and they're like, I want to bash your face in and blah, 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 blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah.
Like, terms of endearment, when you are comfortable with someone that you can threaten physical ill will towards them.
It's always adorable domestic violence.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Ladies, if you're... Nope, not even... Nope,
no.
Nope. What Let's am I leave even that trying? One. Let's leave it alone. The bell ringing scene in the town I thought was strange because they're townies, but they're never townies that show up again. They're not recurring.
Really?
I feel like if it was like season 4 or 5, it'd be like, oh, it's going to be Andrew and Taylor and whoever. But it was it's just a bunch of...
That one conservative townie leading the group and coming in and asking for hot chocolate.
Yeah, that one guy. Luke calls Dean the bag boy, and that's my favorite thing Luke said up to this yeah. point. She's with the bag boy. You can't be with the bag boy. Love it.
We finally... I think this is the first time that we see the Luke's logo on the menu, because mm-hmm. it's the first time they bring out the menu. When she asks for, what is she? She's just asking for something new, and he makes her like a burger in the shape of Santa Claus, which is adorable.
Disgusting and adorable.
Disgusting. Oh, I hope she didn't eat it, but at least she got distracted before she could eat it.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it's the first time that we see the Luke's logo, and then later in the episode, they have to explain that he keeps everything from his father, including the hardware logo, mm-hmm. which is why I was so confused why when you were calling it Luke's.
That it wouldn't be outside, yeah.
Yeah. But, I don't know. It's sort of sweet. This is a very big, sweet episode.
Very sweet.
When he closes down the entire place.
That I was so touched by. It was my favorite thing he's ever done.
Yeah, I was like, no way.
He's like, all right, we're doing everybody out. What the touch I really liked that made me feel like, oh, it's like a little home, is when he said, Taylor, lock up.
Yeah.
That was such a nice touch.
Make your hot chocolate and then you lock up. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was so good. It
would never happen in a big place.
I don't like you, but I trust you and your family, basically. It wouldn't happen where? What'd you say?
It wouldn't happen in a big place, like anywhere like that isn't a small town like Stars Hollow.
Yeah, you're not going to see that at Starbucks. You're not going to see, hey, I'm a barista with benefits. I'm going to close up the place.
I got to drive my kid to the big game. You with the Frappuccino, lock up.
Starbucks. If you're listening to this, we hate you. I'm staring at Demi's Frappuccino right now from Starbucks.
Just before. Starbucks, if you're listening, we hate you, but we love... Oh, it's so curdled. It's gross.
Oh.
It's not actually curdled, but it's been here since the last episode.
It feels like that. Lorelai yelling at Luke, taking it out on him on the way to the hospital.
Yeah.
Very understandable. Lorelai starts talking about, like, oh, the good memories and remembering that. And she talks about how she didn't connect with Richard a lot. She was like, oh, I wanted to think about good memories, but there weren't a lot.
Right.
He was a good man. He provided. I don't know if this is endemic. I don't know what your dad is like, but I feel it's a little personal. But I feel like for my dad, that was like, who's a sweet and amazing, virtuous man. But that was the affection that he showed, was just the provision.
Exactly. Mine as
well. And the money and like establishing a home and providing. But because of that, there's not like a lot to like latch onto in terms of those memories. Let's call our dads after this episode.
Yeah, I do need to call my dad, actually.
Yeah, we should. Or we should call each other's dads.
Yeah.
And Phil.
Hey, Mr. Porter.
Yeah. Hey Mr. Adijuwebe. Things are great. And not talk about you
right.
or me. Just talk about ourselves to each other's dads.
Of course.
Dad
They'll
swap.
Be like, is there a reason you're calling me and not him? Is he okay? What happened? Is he okay?
It's a classic dad swap, bro.
Swap. That theme song.
The car, by the way, is the fakest exterior shot known to man.
The one where
when they're driving, I mean, Luke's not doing the crazy hand motions like he's like on a roller coaster, but it just it looked like they were on a treadmill or something.
Was he driving a truck? Does everyone in Stars Hollow have like this heavy duty vehicle? Because Lorelai has
a Jeep. Yeah.
Dean has a truck, and Luke also has a truck.
Paris has two Humvees.
Great.
But put together.
Of course.
She drives them at the same time.
It's Tristan drives a limo.
Yeah, Tristan, he doesn't ride in a limo.
He drives the limo.
Yeah, that's right. This is before Uber, guys. This was 14 years ago.
This is pre-Uber.
Pre-Ubes, we get to the hospital, and who do we see?
Jane Lynch.
Jane freaking Lynch.
But why can't I see him?
They're running some tests.
Well, I would like to meet this doctor who's testing him.
You will.
Some strange man is working on my husband. I have a right to meet this person.
You will.
And I want to see the room you're going to put him in.
You will.
And stop saying you will. Put a proper sentence together, for God's sake.
Ma'am, please wait here.
Hey, Sue Sylvester.
Yeah.
A thankless role. The kind of role she got a lot. Like, my first exposure to her that I remember was Best in Show.
Yes.
She was amazing in that with Jennifer Coolidge. So, so good. So funny. But she did so many of these, like, weird, just kind of bit parts. She was a that girl for forever, yeah. That woman for forever. I remember she played a reporter on The West Wing that had, like, two lines an episode and just random episodes. She wasn't recurring or anything.
Yeah.
It's just so funny to see, like, and now she's queen of the castle.
She hosted the Emmys one year?
She did host the Emmys.
Yeah.
Which is, you know.
It's crazy that she got that big in, like, 14, well, I guess 14 years is a long time, but, like, we're watching this thing now where it's just like, oh,
yeah,
she's not anyone right now. Anyway, I love Jane
Lynch. I was very drawn to her, and it's like, she didn't distract at all. She did exactly what she needed to do, served the role, right. Did it great.
Yeah. Jane, if you're listening, we love you.
We love you
so much, yeah.
I would do a lot to get Jane Lynch on the show. If you guys want...
If anyone out there knows anyone in contact with Jane Lynch, please get us in contact.
Ring them up, or we can start a Twitter campaign. I wonder about, like...
I forgot the last campaign we started. How's that going?
Oh,
the episode's not
Phil
up.
Phil for Sam?
Phil for Sam.
Phil for Sam will be up by the time this airs, because we're doing them chronologically.
That's true.
Yeah, so Phil for Sam, we're going to check back in on that. Hopefully it's going swimmingly. I think if we play our cards right, we could get her on the show, dude.
I think so. I believe in us.
Yeah. I believe in us. I believe in you. I believe in our color.
Just listen to the rhythm of my heart.
Boo, boo. That was for Trank Dank or whoever on Twitter.
We forgot your name in the minutes that we...
Thanks, Trank Dank. It was like an hour.
Snark Attack.
An hour. I love that it's flip phones. One thing, I just love flip phones on TV.
Oh, I do too.
When Emily's on her phone and Lorelai's on her phone. Flip phone, to me, that doesn't age. Like, it is age. We don't use flip phones anymore.
Right.
But it just gives it an era feeling.
Yeah.
Now, and maybe it's because we're in the era, but every time I see an iPhone in a thing, I'm always distracted by, A, how, like, totally off the graphics are and whatever, like...
Because, like, Apple owns the UI, so they have to create something new.
So unless it's sponsored by it, they can't really show it.
Yeah.
And then, two, like, oh, how thin is it? And so you're trying to guess what generation the phone
is.
And just immediately dates it. Like, oh, they shot that in 2012. I did that watching Birdman the other night. I was like,
really?
Oh, well, this takes, you know, this came out in 2014, but that's an iPhone 4. Yeah, it totally took me out of it. I always notice it. So I love flip phones. We should bring them back. That's why I love flip phones on Breaking Bad, too.
That's also, yeah, they are great with it there.
Totally great. Man, we're flipping for phones over here, guys. Flipping for flip phones.
Welcome to the phone cast.
Hey, I'm Flippy.
I'm phony.
Flippy and phony here. That's been the phone cast. Thanks, guys.
All right. What else happens in this episode that is terrific?
I will say, we got to talk about this. Well, two things in not rapid succession, but it does happen. There's a boom mic shot.
Is there?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Pretty hardcore. At the 30-minute mark. You definitely see a boom.
Oh my God, I have to go back and watch that.
If you look on Twitter, people who are rewatching are like, see a boom in episode 16, see a boom in episode 12, see a boom in blah, 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 blah. Because there is one in the next, maybe we need to have a segment, Boom Goes the Dynamite.
Boom Goes the Dynamite.
And let's talk about this. There's a speaking role for a black gentleman in the show. And so far, there's only been one. Speaking role for a black person ever on the show, the cashier at Dosey's.
Debbie.
This Debbie. And this is the second one ever. First one for a male. And he says, I'm just a transport guy. He might as well have said, I'm just a janitor.
Yeah.
Like, it just, it really bummed me out, right. Actually.
Hey, don't look at me. I'm just a janitor.
Yeah. Like, it's just one. I want to make a supercut of every speaking part a black person has in this show.
I'm just the cashier. I'm just the transport guy.
It'll be 40 seconds long, I guarantee you. I guarantee you.
I feel like if we ever have the chance to get Amy Sherman-Palladino on this podcast, she's going to see the things that we're saying about, like, the diversity in the show is so bad. And I feel like that's the entire episode is us butting heads with that and being like, no, but we love you, though.
Yeah, we do love. Well, it's funny because Shonda Rhimes came down her hardcore.
Did she?
For Bunheads. Yeah. So when Bunheads premiered 2 years ago, it was like summer of 2012. No one in the regular cast, the main cast, was black.
Mm-hmm.
And Shonda Rhimes tweeted, like, I wouldn't let my daughter watch this. There's no women of color, of any color, in the show. So it'd be bad role models. And so they had a little feud. It wasn't really a feud because Palladino has no internet presence and couldn't give less of a shit. Someone asked her about it and she's like, oh, I don't make... Her defense was actually kind of weird. It was like, I don't make message shows. Anyway, she didn't give a shit.
She doesn't make what shows?
She said message shows. Like, oh, we need to all be divert. It just seemed like, I don't know.
That's weird.
A little out of touch. Demi has blinding sunlight coming in through the window right now.
I really do. It's insane.
I'm walking away from the mic right now. Demi's going to fill and talk about what he liked in this app. Because we're in Act 4, so we can start talking about all the sweetness. All
right. I'll talk about one moment of sweetness between Richard and Emily. One moment of sweetness between Richard and Emily, which was particularly sweet because it was Richard trying to be very realistic about the idea that he might die someday, and Emily just was not having it. She was so happy to see her husband that she didn't want to think about the possibility that she'll have to live without him for some time.
This was my favorite line of the episode.
I agree.
Maybe I can get Dava to bring some from home.
Emily, this is serious. We have to be practical.
I'm going to have Dava get this.
Emily, listen to me. If I die...
No!
Emily...
Richard Gilmore, there may be many things happening in this hospital tonight, but your dying is not one of them.
But...
No! I did not sign on to your dying, and it is not going to happen. Not tonight, not for a very long time. In fact, I demand to go first. Do I make myself clear?
Yes, Emily. You may go first.
But just so we can talk about it, what was the line?
I should go first. Or I demand to go first.
I more so that was my loved favorite the line after it by Richard. Yes, Emily, you may go first. Which was so funny.
That was really good.
It was like, I couldn't read it tonally,
mm-hmm.
but I was like, is he threatening her? Is he like, is this like an odd couple sort of thing?
Twist ending in season two. Yeah. Emily is brutally murdered by Richard.
If we heard like a dee 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 dee.
That'd be amazing. I would love, can we request fan art? Is that a thing we can do? We've only had two pieces of fan art total as of the recording of this episode on October the 19th, 2014. But we'd love more. So bring it out.
Yeah, draw shit for us, please.
That was one of the best scenes, if not the best scene. Emily and Luke. How vulnerable she is in front of Luke. And just like... And that's when he tells her about, I didn't change a thing about my dad's hardware store.
Right, yeah.
Turn into a diner. And she's like, so what are you? And she's in full DTR mode, like trying to D that R for them.
She
define the relationship if you didn't listen to the last episode.
If you skipped the last episode, by our request.
Although everyone should know what that is. I don't know why that's not such a common thing.
I don't know why you think should be a common thing.
Because you gotta have that conversation. Or maybe everyone has less vague relationships than I do.
DTR.
Yeah, it is the term. Everyone
knows
what it is.
Buddy, I was in a relationship for 5 years, and I don't know what to call her. That's not true.
Oh, you... Okay.
That was a bit. Welcome to Bit Zone.
Oh, welcome to No Bit Zone.
No Bit
counter.
Zone. No Bit Zone. No Bit Zone.
It is funny how Lorelai never really reconciles with Richard. Like, there's no... They never have, like, the, hey, Dad. Hey, Lorelai.
Right.
That never happens between them. So the kind of distance that she established when talking to Luke in the car... just continues to happen.
And that's sad. That's so... I didn't think about that, but that is really kind of a bummer to think about. Because was it her fear of seeing her dad like that that you think prevented that? Or because she was saying... like, she was trying so hard not to go into that room. Remember when she was like, I'm going to go get coffee.
Right.
There's got to be coffee somewhere.
I guess so. I don't know. Like, I do like how that's vague.
Yeah.
Where you can read a lot of things into it. What was she thinking? Because she just looks at him while he's kind of asleep, and that's it. That's the only resolution they have. And then we get to the end, where she gets Luke a little present.
A little present.
A little Christmas gift.
It's such an adorable...
Brittany and Marley's, you're right, it's a Christmas episode. What were you saying?
It's such an adorable and condescending gift that it's, like, perfect for them. Like... perfect between the two of them. Mm-hmm. But she gets him a new hat to replace his old hat, and it's logo-less, and it's just like, in case your old hat, like, gets lost or something.
It lacks personality.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, it's perfect.
It really is.
I think it's a perfect gift.
She couldn't give him a better gift.
Because he doesn't want lavish anything. And you know what, dude? And here's what's really cool about it, is he ends up wearing that hat for the rest of the entire series.
Mm-hmm. I was hoping he did. Isn't that nice? That seems like a familiar hat. Oh, yeah. That's so sweet.
That's like that's his hat. That's his iconic Luke Dance
hat. That's so terrific. Apparently, I read something the other day about a bunch of trivia about the show, and apparently he wears a hat and dressed like that because apparently he used to be, I said apparently like four times there, but he evidently used to be a minor league baseball player.
That's true. Scott Peterson. Scott Peterson. Mm-hmm. Lacey Peterson's husband.
Oh, Scott Patterson. I'll save that for the murder cast.
Oh, gosh.
But yeah, Scott Patterson used to be a minor league baseball player, which is crazy and funny, but also very true to his personality as Luke.
Totally.
Yeah, I could see that.
He seems like an ex-ball player.
He does.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, unlike anything I've ever talked about on the air, I actually stand by Squarespace. I actually do, because I've used it for everything I've made. Literally, GilmoreGuysShow.com, the very website for this very podcast, was made using Squarespace. How beautiful is that? KevinTPorter.com, I made that using Squarespace. My old bake shop website, that was made using Squarespace. Because you can do it all with Squarespace. You can sell content on your website, so exclusive stuff behind a paywall. You can sell memberships, courses, or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or ebooks. You can do that with Squarespace. You can do analytics with Squarespace, so you can figure out who's visiting your website and why, and figure out how to get traffic and where's it coming from. You can also have people do flexible payments on Squarespace. Make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accepts credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. How nice is that? You can also do email campaigns, so there's constant outreach for your stuff and people know where to find you. So I'm going to let you know where to find Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps it 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. And they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet? Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say, technically, 11 years this month, and it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys.
Great app. I loved it. And I love that this is the thing that thought over. Do you like how, because it got, there were low lows in terms of Emily and Lorelai's relationship in the last app. So now they seem to be patched up and they go to the cafeteria, which is so lovely. And she's like, let's go and get something to eat. Love that so much. Do you buy it in like in one episode's time that they're like, not back to like where they were when they're like bonding over Barbara Stanwyck, but at least they're in a place where it's like, we're good again. There's peace in the valley.
I'm very much not a fan of episodes that resolve shit by being like, oh, in the grand scheme of things, it's not a big deal because death almost happened. And like they're just kind of like, oh, forget about that. Death almost happened.
It seems like a lazy shortcut
to
you.
It really does. Mm. It feels disingenuous for people to patch things up that way. It does happen.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like in sitcoms, it's like, that's always how it
is. It seems like a Deus Ex Machina in a way.
Yeah. Or so like
a little Hollywood talk.
If like two people are yelling at each other, one of them has a heart attack and it's like, we almost lost you and it made me realize how much I care about you in my life. It's like, yeah, but
yeah, I
patch
get
up the argument you were having. I don't know. I feel like I love seeing arguments that are like so complicated and I want them to have a resolution that is like an actual thought out resolution, not just, it doesn't need to be resolved because more things are important.
So you kind of wish it was vaguer. And more like Richard and Lorelai's thing.
Yeah.
Emily and Lorelai. Yeah, I guess so. I guess this episode sucked. You're right, Demi.
This was easily the shittiest.
Two quick things I wanted to touch on before we go to 111.
Triple ones.
Luke gets Lorelai her coffee at the hospital. Awesome. And he says, you're not the only one that can flirt. Because he goes into like the nursing room or something, or like the nurse's lounge or break room to get the coffee.
Yeah.
So what is the implication here? Did Luke Danes whore himself out to a bunch of women?
Yes. He definitely did.
To get a single cup of coffee for the woman he truly loves.
Yeah.
He is in love with her, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you can tell. Totally.
He sold his hair to buy a comb.
Oh, he did, kind of. When he took the hat off to put on the other hat, I was like, oh, put it on.
I was like, it looks like David Duchovny from the back. It was so strange. Yeah. I was like, what? But
my friend is still convinced he looks like Nicolas Cage. I'm not as convinced.
Who, that Luke does?
Yeah. I mean, the hairline I get, but she says like, oh, the eyes
face
too.
Is too different.
Too different.
Yeah.
But the way they're blocking is looking out the window. They're dancing around that bone zone pretty hard, man.
They really are.
I mean, like, because they're not, like, behind each other, but he is very close to each other, and he is behind her.
Yeah.
But I love it. Vague enough. What do you give this app?
Well, I give this...
Were you going to make another point?
I was going to say, there's that great moment of when she thinks Luke is getting sick, and she goes, usually you look good. And he's like, I mean healthy. So I said you look good. We're not in fifth grade. And she's so awkward about it, and Luke has just got this cocky look on his face until the, like, sick person walks by. Yeah. That was such a good moment of, like, look, we know you're going to date. Just dump whoever you're with and let it happen. Yeah. Which we'll get into in a second.
Well, we'll
get
to that in a few minutes. All of Luke's stuff in the hospital, by the way, and him like looking down his shoes and not being able to deal with it.
Yeah.
After being such a hard ass in the town stuff, I love it so much.
It was very true to the Luke that we know and love.
Mm-hmm.
I give this episode 3 out of 5.
Just 3?
Yeah, just 3.
Okay.
I really don't like what this episode was centered around, and the fact that it was like you could tell where it was going the second that when Emily goes into the kitchen and goes, Richard! I was like, oh, okay, he's going to be sick, and that'll save everything. I don't think it pulled any punches. I really liked that they touched on...
threw any punches?
I don't think it threw any punches. Punchies.
Pulled a lot of punches.
Yeah. I don't think it threw any punches. I really like that it dealt with Luke and Lorelai a bit more. I'm a bit iffy on whether or not I've liked the Dean part of it. Like, I liked that Dean was there and that was resolved, but mm-hmm. I wish it had been more of a deal. Like, I don't know. Like, it was such a big deal for the past episode that I felt like it would have been a little bit more, but it focused on Emily more time. And Lorelai, mm-hmm. which I didn't care about as much. I wanted Rory to be like...
Really? I care way more about the adults than I do the kids.
No, I mean, like, I care more about Rory proving herself as the... Because that seemed like a bigger conflict than not being invited to... Like, to me, it wasn't the whole... it wasn't the thing in the last episode where Emily and Lorelai were yelling at each other. Like, the only conflict that I felt was resolved was not being invited to the Christmas dinner.
I gotcha. Yeah, it didn't seem total enough.
Right.
In a way.
So, three out of five lost Jesus baby arms.
Who's a girl?
Yeah.
Good touch. Oh, Taylor. I like Taylor a lot. I'm going to give this 4 out of 5 blue baseball hats.
So you liked it.
I did like it a lot, yeah.
Did you have, like, is there something that you liked particularly in this that made you...
Just Emily's vulnerability.
Yeah.
And Lorelai's vulnerability.
When Emily gets vulnerable, it's a particularly strong. Mm-hmm. Like, at the birthday party, like, in the car, when she's like, I don't know my daughter.
Yeah.
That was one of the strongest.
And this is the closest she's come to, like, full-on crying. Exactly. Is when she's talking to Richard. So that was really nice to see.
Oh, man. I'm going to revise my 3.5 to 3.5 because that scene alone was so... That scene alone. So...
See, I take it on like scene by scene because none of Gilmore Girls... Like, it's almost like Breaking Bad. It's a weird comparison again. But Breaking Bad, there's not a bad episode.
Right.
Really. There's maybe arcs you don't care about as much, but there's never like, oh, man, this one was a clunker. I feel the same way about Gilmore Girls, except for maybe one in season 6. But otherwise, like, there's not really like, oh, not this one.
Yeah.
Barf. It's all pretty consistently good with high points of – the valleys are good. And then the mountains are, like, true, like, transcendent greatness. Mm-hmm. Transcendent's a pretty big word to throw around. But, yeah, I said it. So for me, like, I almost go moment to moment. And that moment with Richard and Emily – in the hospital room, I'm just like, yeah.
It's a good one for sure.
Great, great, great moment. Great ep. And now we'll transition into episode 111, entitled
Paris is Burning.
Burning, baby.
Burning, baby.
Netflix synopsis. After Paris causes a scandal by exposing the relationship between Lorelai and Rory's teacher, Max, Rory furiously confronts her.
That is such a bad synopsis.
So bad.
That's like the last 10 minutes of the episode.
Netflix, Reed Hastings, what are you doing, bro?
I really, like, I also don't know why it's titled Paris is Burning, because I know that Paris is, like parent relationship stuff is not so strong.
It's not great.
That out. But, like, Paris is really just the last 10 minutes of the episode. I feel like it would be more about Lorelai and Max, right?
It's totally a Lorelai and Max episode. Yeah. 100%. I mean, yeah, Paris seems very ancillary to that central conflict.
Yeah.
So, Netflix, you're stupid. Don't come on the show.
Get out of here, Netflix.
We ban you, Netflix. Although, unless you want to give us free Netflix subscriptions.
Yeah, if you want to, like, sponsor the show or something,
because that would be cool. That'd be super cool. I will say, the teaser opens with Luke petting a dog at the fair.
Yeah.
Which has Comic Sans MS font for that banner. Oof. But it's revealed later, Luke hates dogs.
Does he?
Mm-hmm. So there's a little continuity thing. Anyway.
That's funny. I really like the first lines of the episode of them, like, trying to figure out diseases for each letter of the alphabet.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's a fun game.
Yeah. I was like, that's such a fun way to decide out who cleans the fridge.
Oh, bro. You know what we forgot to do?
What?
To kick off the app discussion.
Pop
goes the culture. Ooh.
Not too bad when we
in
do
unison,
it together.
In unison, Pop Goes to Culture, episode 111, Paris is Burning.
Psycho was on earlier.
Wow, you're the new Heather. Like a normal hello, not like a Here's Johnny kind of hello?
It's the whole Marilyn Monroe, Arthur Miller syndrome.
Living la vida loca.
Suki.
Shake a bum bum, shake a bum bum.
Hey, do you want to sing some more Ricky Martin to me?
I'm Nancy Kerrigan.
And I'm Tanya Harding. I'm going to do the whole shoelace coming untied, nervous breakdown, let me start again act.
Oscar.
Felix.
Forget it.
I never read Proust.
Well, it's not the Rick James incident, but Hugh Grant should be feeling pretty good about himself.
Was this before the Tanya Harding, like, her trying to assassinate Nancy Kerrigan thing?
No, I think it was after.
So that was such a weird reference then. Because
right?
They were like, we're going to be buddies on the ice. I'm Tanya Harding. and you're the
right,
woman.
They're being sly about it.
Yeah.
Well, now I want to look it up when it actually happened. Fill time.
What other...
I say fill time. I should just let you talk. And
I don't know if you missed this one, but there was the Oscar Felix.
No, that was in there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was not paying attention then.
How dare you?
I loved that reference.
You tuned out.
I did. No, I love that reference, and I love the You're the New Heather, which I assume was in relation to Heathers.
I assume so, too.
Yeah.
Kate Spencer called this a millennial podcast.
It's such a millennial podcast.
We have not seen Heathers.
No.
We just assume stuff about
Heathers is
it?
One of those movies that I know everything about, but I've never actually seen it. And I will tell people it's good, but it's like, I guess I haven't seen it.
You recommend it to people?
Yeah, I'll recommend Heathers. Sure. I love Winona Ryder. I don't love Christian Slater, but he's in it.
Little Jack Nicholson?
Is Little Jack... Oh, Christian Slater's Little Jack Nicholson?
Yeah.
Yeah, I see it.
Right?
Oh, gross.
Boy, okay, scene one. I like Max's story about his old girlfriend.
Yeah.
Or that it was like, oh, this woman upstairs, blah, blah, blah. It's your girlfriend.
Has a son.
Yeah. No, that made me like him a lot.
Yeah,
Lorelai's being gross about Rory's paper, though. Oh, look at the paper!
Oh, I hated
it all
that.
The way to the top.
I really didn't want that to become the thing.
No, don't do that.
I because it not only makes the relationship evident as like a oh yeah you're my kid's teacher, but it's also just like I thought it was gonna be the kind of thing where she slyly is just like, wouldn't it be nice if you gave Rory? It's like no, I don't want. Don't go there.
Yeah,
I don't
do it. What are you doing?
Yeah.
I
really loved that moment when they were talking about the book that, like, the Proust book, and she straight up goes, I would love to say as Marcel Proust would say, but I've never read it. It's, like, so very meta, and it felt real. Like, I feel like that's the kind of thing that I do where it's like, I would love to say that, but I haven't really – I love to drop the reference, but I don't know the reference.
Sometimes I still do.
Yeah, same. Like, with Heathers, I'll still say, what's your damage, Heather?
I'll say that, too. Wow. Man, Demi, we're so much alike.
We're
it's
the
crazy.
Same person.
It's crazy. Oh, I love it so much. I just sound like Gabe Liedman now.
Bestie ex bestie.
I will say, though, Max's apartment looks like a Cliff Notes version of what a production designer thought when he heard teacher's apartment. It's like old books and exposed brick and
you know he loves to cook.
Yeah.
He also loves to lecture about Emily Dickinson. Like the two times we've seen him lecturing, it's been about Dickinson.
Dude, he's all about that Dickinson.
Oh, he wants to put his dick.
Boy. Well, that's funny because Lorelai sneaks home and I love that flip of like the daughter and then the mother walking in. Daughter's like, where you been, you whore?
That's not exactly Rory's words, but...
Yeah, not exactly. Well, and then she says, go upstairs and think about what you've done. And Lorelai says, I will. So are we to believe...
She's going upstairs...
To play...
Yeah.
A little downstairs DJ.
Oh, my God. You didn't make that up. That's terrific. Downstairs DJ.
I forget whose that is.
I love that.
That might be Lisa Lampanelli.
Oh... Still, great.
Mom, if you're listening to this podcast, sorry.
We love
forever.
You. Come on the show.
I want my mom on the show. I want your mom on the show, dude.
Oh, my mom would never do the show.
She wouldn't.
No, because then she'd have to watch Gilmore Girls.
She wouldn't even entertain the idea of like, Mom, do this fun thing. You don't even have to care about it. We'll just talk and have a good time.
I wouldn't want my mom to do the show because then she'd also have to probably listen to a previous episode.
Oh,
yeah.
I know. I'm kind of hoping certain family members never find this.
Mama.
Okay, Chilton class at the 8-minute mark. You see a boom, baby.
Do you?
Yes, it dips in that wide shot of Max. I know.
Do you think it's because of the aspect ratio on Netflix?
Well, no, because it's still in the center of the frame. Okay. Because so that's weird. Understandable. People have been posting screenshots of like there's a crew member in this shot. And it's like, yeah, because it was intended for 4:3 aspect ratio.
Right.
Netflix is 16:9, so you're probably seeing a lot of junk you weren't supposed to.
Right.
And they tried, but sometimes if it's like, you know, the day's short, like it's just 4:3. Who cares? No one will ever see this piece of garbage. You know, 14 years later, no one will ever start a podcast about it. But lo and behold. The boom mic, no, that's in the center of a frame, so you can't blame it on the Netflix, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Chilton's scene. Paris's divorce is so ugly and so sad.
Yeah.
It just makes me feel for her all the more. Like, it is successful. It gives her motivation and grounding.
So many of these moments where we're given reason to like Paris, and then she just kind of throws it away by doing something totally mean. And, like, Rory called her out on it, but I was still like, but you can't take that back. You did a terrible thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I do buy it. Sometimes when I see that sort of character in a show, like someone who's just like malicious and seems like very out of control and destructive towards other people, it's frustrating to watch because it doesn't seem fun. But with Paris, because there is, and I've seen like the rest of the seasons too, so it's probably different for you, but because there's that like foundation of pain and struggle in her own family life and that desire for stability,
right?
Especially now that her parents are getting divorced, like I just feel for her so much that I don't condone the destructive behavior, but I do understand it.
I liked that when Rory told her off, she said like everything that I feel like she should have. Just like, why are you doing this? You were so sad to have this happen to you. Now you're doing it to me. Like, every time this happens in a TV show, I just want them to be like, how do you not see yourself as like a villain? Like, this is some real villain shit. How can you possibly justify this, like what is clearly bullying? And I love that she like straight up did that. I don't know, it was a very, like, I wish Paris had just been, Paris essentially did just kind of be like, you're right, but I wish
yeah she kind of collapsed,
like, oh my god, yeah,
yeah. Which is good, so she's not above reason,
right?
The Friday night dinner scene where Emily is gone, or not Emily is gone, Richard is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Emily's never gone, baby.
Probably back from in Prague.
Mind. Yeah, Prague. Doing some insurance shit. Emily's the most playful we've seen her, I think, up to this point.
Yeah.
Like, in the conversation, she's, like, sniping and having fun. And I really like it. It's a really, really nice... It is a nice status quo scene where it's not like, oh, they're BFF. But Emily is having right. some fun. I love it. I love it. I love it. The shots of the scene where they're getting ready for the date, Lorelai is, and the shots of Max outside the door, listening and hearing without even trying.
And just reacting.
Every word.
Like
and it's just like, what is this bullshit? Yeah. Like, it's my favorite.
It's so funny.
Yeah, it made me, yeah, I like him.
Also, speaking of that date, what is Lorelai wearing? It's like, it almost feels like that's what she would wear to bed, or like she steps out of room just like, I'm in something more comfortable.
Dude,
it's all see-through.
You know what it's time for? Fashion. Talk about that.
It just
you were talking about.
When she was put, like, before she mentioned that she was going on a date, she was in that already. I was like, is she going to sleep? Where's Rory going? And I was like, oh, no, she's going out on a date. I thought she was very...
It was 90-esque. I know what you're saying. Yeah.
It was strange. The other strange choice in this episode, besides it, I didn't think there was anything out of the ordinary, was Lorelai's pigtails. When she talks to Suki.
I thought they were fine.
No, I didn't think they were bad. Yeah. It was just like very...
It was strange.
Yeah.
She wears them more, I think.
It was notable, I guess.
There was a few things I didn't like that Lorelai wore in this.
Shoot.
I just had that moment where I realized I'm a grown man talking about...
talking about the way a woman was dressed 14 years ago.
Right. Yeah. Her camo shirt... wasn't into it. I just wrote camo shirt, no, in my notes.
Camo, no.
Leather blazer, oof. The one she wears to school day, bring your parents to school day.
Yeah.
Turtleneck, oof again.
See the turtleneck.
Well, you gotta look harder, bro.
I gotta look harder. I'm not paying attention.
Oh, when Max shows up to the date.
He's got like a red scarf or something.
The scarf, if he had tied it, just it flowing down, you just look
just
like
a... Just to show off that he has a scarf.
Yeah, like, what are you trying to prove, Max? We get it, bro.
You get cold sometimes around your neck.
Look at me, I have a scarf. Deborah.
Yeah, Deborah. Everybody wears scarves.
His hair looked particularly greasy, I thought.
Did it?
I thought... For the day.
Max always reminds me of, like, first of all, he looks like Al Pacino in The Godfather.
Lorelai. He does. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. What a good observation.
Don't ask me about my affairs, Lorelai.
Take the cannoli. Wait,
none of those are his lines.
No, here's...
You ask me this one time. Let me ask you this one time what I do. That's the end of The Godfather.
Oh, okay.
Don Corleone.
I have nipples. Can you milk me?
Can you milk me, Craig? That's Rob De Niro.
No.
Yeah.
No, I think you're wrong. Robert De Niro, who is the Godfather.
What are you talking?
Godfather. He's the Godfather.
It's Al Pacino.
No. Godfather 2, De Niro plays him in the flashbacks.
Oh, I'm talking about the Godfather.
So am I. He's the Godfather.
Are you fucking with me?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry.
I don't understand sarcasm.
I mean, Brando is the Godfather, really.
Right.
He dies, R.I.P.
Double R.I.P.
To the fictional character.
And in real life.
That's right. Right.
Anyway.
So, I love the Rebecca Norman exchange between Rory and Max.
I hated it.
How about this, then? We'll come up with non-Chilton names for each other. When we're not in school, I'll call you Rebecca.
Rebecca.
And you'll call me?
Norman.
Norman?
Well?
I look like a Norman to you.
I'm sorry. Psycho was on earlier, and it was just the first name that came to mind. I'll think of something else. How about Alfred?
You know what? Norman's fine.
Are you sure?
Not positive. I love it. I might make a legal change.
Why did you hate it?
I don't know, maybe it's just the tone that he did, but it felt creepy of them to be like, all right, when we're not at school, we'll use different names.
He was weird. He was kind of awkward in that.
Yeah.
But
I think it might
Rebecca
have just been the
Norman,
tone.
I think that's cute.
I think it's funny. Yeah. I guess it's literally just the tone with which Max was saying, when we're outside of class, we'll use different names.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just imagine them seeing each other on stream and being like, oh, hello, Rebecca.
Mm.
Oh, hi, Norman.
Hello, Norman. Like Shelley Long.
I loved the, you think I'm a Norman? Like, oh, yeah. You can be an Albert. And it's like, no, I'll love it. I'll even change my legal name. That was funny.
Because all Normans are dumb, unless they listen to the show.
Sorry, I was just watching Psycho.
If there's any Normans that listen to the show, please tweet at us. And if there's for real a single Norman that listens to Gilmore Guys, I will send you a letter in the mail. Like, follow us. Tweet at us. I'll follow you back. We'll DM. I'll get your address, and I'll send you a handwritten letter. Or hand-typed, at least. I have a typewriter.
There might be a lot of Normans. For all we know, Normans are our number one demographic.
Well, you know, Norman Mailer is actually in Gilmore Girls later on. Yep,
terrific.
Season 5. I won't tell you the name of that ep because it's a spoiler. But his name is in the ep, too. It's Norman Mailer blank blank, and the blank blank is a spoiler.
In the title?
Yeah.
Kills Rory.
Yeah, you got it, dude.
Yeah,
sorry, I didn't want you to find out this way.
All right.
How much do you love that Luke tightens and cleans the roller skates, the blades on the roller skates? And he's like, no, give them to me. I'll fix them up. He's just he's the most solid dude.
Luke,
right?
You got to admit that you're falling in love with your friend. And listen,
we're falling in love with Luke right now.
Yeah, of course.
Because at first we were like, who gives a shit? And now we're like, oh, he did this great thing.
Oh, I'm old hippie.
Yeah. And then we get to that. Go ahead.
No, I think we might be getting to the same thing.
Lorelai and Suki?
Yep. I didn't like Lorelai in that moment, but I loved Suki so much more, as I always do.
Little Ricky Martin. And I like, too, because they could have made it, well, I mean, I guess they couldn't have, but that the reason that she couldn't date right now is that she had too much work. Like, oh, the work's crazy and busy schedule and blah, 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 blah.
Although, like, you're talking to a person you work with.
Yeah. Anyway, I love Suki. I'm in love with her.
I do. I am too. There was that thing of that I really loved of her calling Lorelai out when she was saying, like, that she might break up with Max.
Mm-hmm.
Saying 2 months right on schedule. I thought that was so true to life, and I was, like, getting a little upset with Lorelai at the moment. I didn't think she had a good reason to dump it.
Yeah.
I don't think she did in the entire episode. Even when she was like, Rory's getting too attached, I'm like, no, use that. Like, accept
it to your advantage. Yeah.
Accept that she's getting attached to this person.
That was what freaked her out, too. It was like the daddy eyes that Rory was making at Max, essentially.
That was
like, I like him.
I was so frustrated because he's like, I only date someone that my daughter does not like.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
So dumb.
God. But also the 2 months is like, was that also it? Was she just getting tired of this guy? It all frustrated me. I wanted them to not.
Lorelai's very flawed in this app.
Yeah.
The cookie count when they're at Chilton.
That was the weirdest we had ever seen Max, and
right?
I didn't like it.
Just wanted to see what the cookie count was.
Yeah.
No, buddy.
He looked like he was, like, constipated in that one scene. Just like, is your mom coming to Parents' Day?
Yeah, he was, like, flop sweating junk. When we get to the parent-teacher day, I'm really happy with the way I took notes this ep, by the way, because I feel like I'm following them well. I'm not like, what else happened? It seems a little clear even if I'm not using all of them. I should really be telling you this after the show, but you know what, listeners? You can know that, too. We're family.
You get the inside baseball.
I be, baby. Parent-teacher day. Paris's mom is terrible. The look that Lorelai gives Max when he's teaching, she is so activated by that, right?
Yeah.
Because she's just like, this is a man who knows what he's doing in the classroom.
Time to dump him.
Yeah, exactly. But the look is so affectionate, and that's what's so nutty about it. By the way, in this scene, there's a huge hair on the matte box of the camera. In one shot, there's like a big... maybe we'll post a screenshot of it when the episode goes up, but there's a big hair just stuck, like, on the bottom. Like, it's just in one shot. You know what I'm talking about? When hair gets stuck, like, on a lens or whatever.
Seriously, though?
Yeah. It's weird looking. They have the conversation, I want space. Well, I don't. And then they just get together like two horny dummies.
Also, I guess I'm not clear now. Are they broken up? Are they still together?
By the end of the episode, they are broken up.
Okay.
By this point, she was going to break up with him. And he's like, no, don't. And then who should see him? Paris.
Paris.
Who burns as a result. She's lashing out, obviously, because of her shitty life.
Again, but this is by the, like, 30-minute mark of the episode. There shouldn't be the title or the synopsis for the episode.
Really, it's bearing the lead here, guys. Kinda, yeah.
Yeah.
Rory is obviously super upset. Her eyes, when she was chewing out her mom in the stairway scene, I noticed just looked so beautiful. Just the way the light was hitting them. It's like, I mean, they look beautiful all the time, but particularly in this.
You got good eyes, Alexis. You come on the show, we'll tell you that in person.
Yes.
Actually, I just got a text from her.
Oh, what does it say?
She's confirmed. She's coming.
She's coming the next ep?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. You guys heard it here first. For episode 112, Alexis Bledel will 100% for sure be on the show. The
thing is, isn't she pregnant? She told...
She's pregnant. Here, she went to a baby shower. Yeah. Oh, we'll get back to that at the end.
Yeah.
I think my favorite line of the episode, although I will say, Lorelai, when she's having that conversation with Rory on the staircase, she said, I broke the rules when I brought him into our lives. But no, the rules are stupid and you're just being stupid.
Yeah.
You trying to like blame it on the rules and blame it on this and like, oh, I need to separate, blah, blah, blah. It's just an excuse that like shields her from true intimacy.
Right.
With anyone besides her daughter, really. Which is maybe her problem. And I think my favorite line of the ep was when Rory said, I'd rather you not make out with Mrs. Collins. When she's talking about like, oh, follow me to French class.
Yeah, yeah. And she's like, depends on what she, what did she say? Depends on how... she said something like, depends on how good she looks or something.
Yeah, something hilarious like that.
Yeah.
Good line, Lore. Scene at Emily's house. It's a Friday night dinner. Emily's super pissed. And the way she talks to her, it is like Lorelai's 16 and she just like crashed a car.
Get in here.
Yeah, Lorelai, sit down. We have to talk. And then I love when she confronts her and she said, were you kissing him? And she said, well, they told us to get more involved.
Yeah.
Which is great. Here is Emily's central problem. I think you find it in this one line. Because she's chewing her out, blah, blah, blah. And she says, Lorelai says, it's none of your business. Emily says, when it affects my daughter, it becomes my business. Which is like, no. But it does. It demonstrates she loves her so, so much. But just demonstrating it in all the wrong ways.
Yeah.
Right? Lorelai starts crying with her mom. But the best, my favorite shot of the episode is when they stay on Emily just like a few beats too long at the end of that scene when Lorelai leaves the room.
Yeah.
And then Emily like tries to take a drink, but then she's so upset and she puts her hand to her face. It's just so super subtle and well done. Kelly Bishop is a masterpiece theater class under herself. Rory tries to appeal to Paris's better angels back at Chilton. You know, if you ever want to talk, trying to thaw it out. Rory's being super gracious, by the way.
Yeah.
What a good kid.
There's so many moments where she should just be so mean to Paris and it would be justified.
Yeah.
And she just takes the high road. I have a deep respect for Rory.
But then we get to my favorite, maybe my favorite part of the episode. Jackson and Sugi.
Yeah.
Jackson and Sugi, oh bro.
Jackson is going on about something that doesn't matter. Blah, blah, blah,
peaches, yeah. Or whatever. And this is my favorite look of the show so far, and of this episode, obviously, is just the way Sugi. Oh, I get. I don't. Why am I crying so much at this show? By the way, it's weird.
It's an emotional show.
It's an emotional show, but maybe it's my. I don't know if it's nostalgia. I don't think it is nostalgia because I don't remember feeling this way when I was a kid. But I legit choked up when she was, and even now a little bit when she was just looking at him, and she was just so confident. And she was so sweet and it was such clarity and she knew exactly what she wanted in that moment. And she just said, Jackson, would you like to go out sometime? It was the best thing ever. I love it so much. So
I'm
pure.
Now taking a photograph of how he's choking up talking about Melissa McCarthy. It's such a sweet moment. You were right to choke up, but it's just, it's great that you're doing this.
It's so good. Oh, I can't express it. I mean, I think, not to spoil anything, but Jackson Sugi, they might be my role models, man.
Oh, man. I mean, I think you did just spoil it based on what you said in the previous podcast.
Well.
But I know, that's good. That's great.
sorry.
It's a bummer ending from Lorelai, though.
Oh, bummer ending.
Yeah.
When they meet in the coffee shop, by the way, I do like that there's a sign that behind them that just says, Cappuccino, with bold letters. And he says goodbye, Lorelai Gilmore. That's something that guys like to do on the show. Dean says it to Rory on the bus, and Max says it to her. There says something very affectionate about it. And then Lorelai's crying on her bed, all alone.
I want to start calling Rory Rorelai.
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 That's not confusing.
Nope.
All right, man. What do we rate this app? I give it 3.5 out of 5 Proust books.
I was going to say Proust books. Oh, I guess I'll just say 3.5 out of 5, I don't know, old girlfriend spaghetti recipes.
No one is going to know.
No.
The energy is so weird right now.
Let me just explain. Let's just go inside baseball here. We just got a weird scare of thinking that we lost a bunch of, like, that we might have not even recorded any of this podcast. There might be a weird cut in the edit, and that's because at some point Kevin noticed that the recorder was displaying card full, and we thought, oh shit, we've lost it all. And that was,
but we didn't.
Yeah.
And we just lost, like, a minute and a half of
us rating it, and now we just rated it again.
Yeah, so we're good, guys.
Yeah.
It's all right now. Thank you for listening to the Holocast.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, that's staying.
See, that's the thing we lost in the things we lost in the fire.
Hey, a lot of fires there.
Oh my God, Kevin.
Auschwitz, baby.
I cannot say publicly how much I do not approve of this. And I wish you guys could see Kevin's crazy laugh right now.
Oh my God. You never will. Oh, you will.
Never will.
Yeah, it's been.
It's been.
Here's what I'll say, and here's the offer that we posited on the last ep, which if you got
free
through
money,
it,
no.
No, not free money. No, not free money.
Look, that's Anna's deal. She's the one who put up the money.
Because here's the deal. You can support us a few ways. We're not going to ask you for money. We're not panhandlers, babe. We might at some point, because hosting does cost, but we're not going to right now.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way.
We're fine.
We're fine. We're in Hollywood. We have a lot of money. We're doing all right, Mom and Dad. I will say, though, if you want to support the show, it's a labor of love. And the way you can do that, you can follow us on Twitter, at Gilmore Guys Show on Twitter. Follow us, tweet at us, feedback. It's awesome. We tweet quotes from the show. We tweet pictures and all sorts of fun stuff. I sound like someone who's just found Twitter for the first time.
You can send pictures.
There's pictures. There's
videos.
Words next to the pictures.
You can only do 140 of the letters. I don't like that so much.
You never call anymore. You can write us at GilmoreGuysShow@gmail.com is our email. Send us mail like Brittany and Nicholas and Ryan and the other Marley's. sorry, Marlies or Marlies or whatever your name is, like they did. Send us fan mail or hate mail. We love it either way.
Yeah.
And let me sweeten the pot. We'd love it if you'd rate us and review us on iTunes. If you do, tweet at us and post a picture of your review, and then we will come up with a freestyle or just a regular style rap about your name and Gilmore Girls. So that's our promise to you. If you're, you know, give me a name right now, Demi. We'll like try it out.
Gregory.
Beatbox. Oh, yeah. What? 2014. Yeah. Thanks for the iTunes review. You. I don't know if you are a Jew. You, Gregory.
Why do you always go there?
Maybe we should cut that out.
We can't cut it out now. It'll just be like, give us an example. Anyway.
No, give me another example.
Thomas.
Yo, I want to give a shout out to a guy named Tom, because I think he is the mother effing bomb. Yeah, Rory and Suki and Luki make a dookie. Yeah,
boy.
Thank you, Tom.
Dale.
So that would be an example, but it will be pre-written and not on the spot, so it'll be a little better than that.
A little.
Marginally better than that. But yeah, that's what you can expect if you leave us a review on iTunes, because they're super helpful. They boost the profile of the show. And that's good news for everyone, because that's more Gilmore Guys for everybody.
More
and it's fine.
Gilmore Guys.
All right, so
we're going to end the show.
We're going to end the show the way we always end the show.
But with a little bit of a...
With a bit of a twist.
I'm going to be playing the song
that he just learned kind of
on guitar.
Afternoon.
Let's hope that I did it right.
We got high hopes, but... Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you so much, guys.
We're going to do episode 112 next time. Not sure when this is coming out. We are recording these in advance. But
luckily, Alexis is confirmed.
Alexis is confirmed, and she will be here.
Yeah.
You did just get a text from her. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's do it. 2, 3, 4.
If you're out on the road,
yeah,
feeling lonely and so cold, all you got to do is call my name and I'll be there on the next train. Where you lead, I will follow anywhere that you tell me to. If you need me to be with you, I will follow. Oh, where you lead, I will follow anywhere you tell me to. If you need me to be with you, I will follow where you lead.
I wish I did that better. Thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks, guys. We'll make it better next time.